For more now on that 1986 investigation, we turn to Tom Nolan, professor of criminology at Boston University and a former 27-year veteran of the Boston Police Department. He was a police lieutenant. Nolan says today an incident like the fatal shooting of Seth Bishop in 1986 would have sparked a grand jury investigation. And Nolan says in his view, the 1986 probe was flawed for many reasons.
Basically, the interview of the family of the shooting victim was conducted 11 days after the incident, and a representation was made by the officer who wrote the report that he wanted to allow sufficient time for the family to grieve, etc. But it certainly, if nothing else, allowed them sufficient time to get their story straight. And even in the interview, the mother of Amy Bishop makes a representation that a shotgun blast could have gone off in the house, and she maybe didn't hear it because the house might have been soundproofed. I mean, that strains the bounds of credibility right there. I mean, I can't imagine a situation where you could have a shotgun discharge in a dwelling house and people not hearing it. Further, the report by the state police trooper doesn't list the manner of death. It states that there was an autopsy conducted and that the cause of death was a shotgun blast to the chest, but it doesn't list the manner that the pathologist determined or entered onto the death certificate. That's a red flag. So did the pathologist, in fact, determine that it was an accidental death, or was it a homicide? We don't know that. We also don't have interviews from the officers who responded to the 911 call. We don't have interviews with EMS personnel who transported Seth Bishop to Quincy City Hospital.
It sounds like what you're saying about that 1986 incident is that it might have been inadequately investigated.
Absolutely. I mean, it looks on its face as though a six-page report was generated from a Massachusetts State Police trooper to an assistant district attorney, and it appears as though the police themselves made the determination that this was an accidental shooting. Had someone submitted a report, you know, and I was a police lieutenant, and I reviewed, that was what I did, was review reports from subordinate officers. If someone threw this at me, I would have thrown it right back at them and say, go out, interview the EMS people, put down the manner of death, get it from the death certificate. You know, we want to have a complete case file here. We want to have photographs. We want to have the actual autopsy report that's conspicuous in its absence. What do the doctors say? You got two doctors who are conducting an autopsy here. How did they decide what the manner of death was? What's on the death certificate? You know, the interviews, I'm very troubled by the interviews. Typical law enforcement strategy is you bring the suspect, if that's what it is, and she's the shooter, whether she's guilty of anything or not, you bring her to the police station and you interview her on your home turf. That's criminal investigative practice 101. I mean, that is basic. You don't go to someone's home. So the woman here, Amy Bishop, until she's clearly eliminated, she's a suspect here. If this were to occur in 2010, I know that a grand jury would be immediately impaneled and witnesses would be called, you know, the following week after the incident. So we're not seeing that here. What we're seeing is basically an incomplete report that is missing many facets of a basic death investigation. I mean, the report is titled Accidental Shooting. It's not titled a death investigation. So it's almost as if a determination was made a priori that this was an accidental shooting.
So bottom line question here, should this 1986 case be reopened? Can you do that 24 years after the fact?
There is no statute of limitations for the crime of murder. So, you know, if it's believed and if it can be proven, of course, you know, with the passage of time, that necessarily becomes that much more difficult. Certainly, it could be, the investigation could be reopened. I believe that there are people in law enforcement who have very relevant details to share, and for whatever reason, they've been muzzled over the years. So I think it would be prudent to reopen it. I just don't know to what end.
Let me ask you a question that I'm sure our listeners are wondering about following the disclosure of this 1986 incident and then the following one in 1993 when Amy Bishop was apparently looked at as a possible suspect in the attempted bombing of the Harvard Medical School professor but was cleared. Why doesn't this kind of information follow a person along? It's sort of a question that gets at, couldn't anyone have seen this kind of thing coming?
In hindsight, there should have been red flags down all over the field. What was interesting to hear and learn about is that the ATF agents and the U.S. Postal Service agents who conducted that mail bomb incident in 1983 were keenly aware and named Amy Bishop as a suspect because of her history of violence following the shooting of her brother. So they were aware of that.
What about employers or potential employers? Are they entitled to access to this kind of information? And I ask, very mindful of the fact that Amy Bishop was cleared of both of these things. She was the shooting of her brother was found to be accidental, and federal investigators eventually cleared her of any link to the attempted bombing of the Harvard professor.
I don't think that information like this should necessarily follow a person around throughout their lives and their careers, particularly where law enforcement was unable, for whatever reasons, to put together a criminal case. But at least on its face, it seems as though the 1986 death investigation of Seth Bishop should have been followed up on. A grand jury should have been convened by the district attorney's office, and witnesses should have been put before the grand jury and a case put together possibly for involuntary manslaughter, and whether or not a guilty verdict would have resulted would have been up to a judge or a jury. But that never occurred. That should have occurred. And if it did, we would then have at least on record that that this individual, this woman, was charged with a crime of violence. And yes, that should and that would have followed her around, so that there would have been warning signs, that people would have seen that this is someone who, yes, she's a talented scientist and a college professor, but there's also this in the background that you may want to be aware of, this tendency toward violence.
Professor Tom Nolan, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Tom Nolan is a former Boston police lieutenant who's now a professor of criminology at Boston University.